I'm Chris Sims, and this is the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast. We're dedicated to lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. In this episode, we have a special interview for you. Our Prairie Director, Todd McKay, speaks with Conservative Party leadership candidate, Derek Sloan. First elected in 2019, Mr. Sloan is the Member of Parliament for Hastings, Lennox, and Addington in Eastern Ontario. He's a lawyer, a former small business owner, and a married father of three children. Todd caught up with Mr. Sloan and asked him about everything from the carbon tax to firearms. Take it away, Todd.
Derek Sloan is the Conservative Member of Parliament for Hastings, Lennox, and Addington. He's also a lawyer, and he wants to be the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada. Mr. Sloan, thank you so much for joining us on the Canadian Taxpayers Podcast.
Glad to be here.
So first question, obviously you oppose the carbon tax. The Canadian Taxpayers Federation has opposed the carbon tax for a long time. If you become Prime Minister, how fast will you get rid of the carbon tax? Will it be before or after lunch on your first day in office?
We're going to get rid of the carbon tax right away. I'm the only candidate that wants to get us out of the Paris Agreement, which sort of provides the pressure for these types of taxes. These taxes don't help us. They don't help us. They don't help global emissions by any stretch, and they certainly don't help Canada. So out of the Paris Agreement and no carbon tax.
Excellent. I'm going to keep moving on to another topic. I was looking at your Facebook page the other day. You bought a Winchester shotgun, so I feel confident about your answer on this one. The Liberals have brought forward a large ban of many types of guns. They're planning to spend hundreds of millions of dollars at minimum to buy back a lot of these guns. What would you do with the Trudeau government's gun ban and buyback plan?
Yeah, so certainly I would scrap it. And I have a great plan to actually expand rights for legal gun owners. And I think gun owners would be pleasantly surprised by my plan. You can see my plan on my website. You can see some webinars I've done with the CCFR, for example, or the NFA. And I have certainly the most ambitious plan when it comes to revamping our current laws around firearms ownership. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Tell us a little bit about that plan.
I'd love to. Yeah. So the first thing is when it comes to the gun grab, obviously, not only are we undoing the gun grab, I want to repeal the Firearms Act in its entirety and replace it with something more intelligible. So that would get rid of Bill C-71, which is the bill that Trudeau is using to do this. And it would also get rid of other things that have come into play. Now, I am in favor of licensing, and I feel that there maybe should be several tiers of licensing. But I'll tell you, the juiciest part of my plan is actually to say that if you're licensed to hold a certain level of gun, whatever we name those different levels, you should be able to use it in the same way as you would any other gun. So I live out in the country. I live on, I'm surrounded by farm fields. I can go out and shoot some very high-powered hunting rifles without any issue. But if I was to take a .22 pistol out back and shoot it, I could go to jail. And that's the type of laws that just don't make sense. We know that legal gun owners are not the ones that are committing crimes. In fact, they're less likely than an average person to commit a gun crime. I mean, those stats are staggering. So there's no sense having, the point of the licensing system is to say, look, we trust this person to own firearms. If you're allowed to own a firearm, whether it be, you know, a pistol or a rifle, and you go through the appropriate training and the daily police checks and all that, you should be able to use it the same way as you would any other gun. So this would enable handgun hunting, using a sidearm in the bush, even for self-protection. So, and we'll also put in laws that make it very clear that it's okay to use your firearm judiciously in the case of self-defense. So we have a pretty exciting platform. Frankly, none of the other candidates are even getting close. Some, of course, many, I think all of them are against what Trudeau is doing, and that's great, but none of them are actually expanding the rights of legal gun owners, and I think that's an important distinction.
And certainly from the Canadian taxpayers' perspective, it's an awful lot of money that doesn't seem like it's going to make anybody safer And we're against wasteful spending. And so for us, that's where we jump in. But I want to go to that, to spending and some of those problems. Obviously, we see the deficit soaring right now. I don't think anybody saw the pandemic coming. Obviously, there's a lot of costs associated with that. But there were deficits before the pandemic, and we've got a big problem now. How do you go about tackling that? How long will it take to deal with the deficit?
Well, there's a lot of government waste, as we both know, which is obviously part of it. The other part, of course, is growing the economy. You know, cutting back on how, if we're going to compare a household to the economy, if you cut down on household expenditures in terms of reining in your debt, that's one step. But another step would be maybe you can work a little bit harder. Maybe you can work, upgrade your own skills so you can bring in some more money. So we need to grow the economy as well. The primary way to improve our economic performance right now is to increase the energy sector, the natural resource sector, increase the ability for those projects to get approved. We've seen a variety of projects pull out after spending a lot of money and getting nowhere. So obviously that's very important. And then we also have to look at other tax cuts and red tape cuts for small businesses and entrepreneurs to try and foster that culture of innovation in Canada.
And when we get to that side of it, there's going to be a lot of pressure on every government to raise taxes. Certainly, there's people that advocate spending your way out of a deficit problem. We've seen that tried in many places at many times. How will you deal with that pressure to raise taxes?
I think those pressures will always be there. You know, right now we're in a position where we're already paying too much tax, and we're paying too much tax sort of objectively from what is your tax rate perspective, but we're also paying too much when the federal government and provincial governments don't provide enough infrastructure funding to municipalities, for example. So then they do that so they maybe don't have to actually raise your income tax level, but then your property tax rates are going up significantly every year. So we need to look at, and I believe your organization does this, we need to think of the taxpayer as one taxpayer, and whether they're paying provincial, federal, municipal taxes, it's still a tax. And we have to make sure that we're not, downloading things onto other entities to make ourselves look good when it's still, at the end of the day, impacting the one taxpayer.
Yeah, we often joke that when politicians talk about one level of government taxing versus the other, it's kind of like arguing about which end of the bathtub to take money out of. It's sort of the same either way. We've talked about it sort of in a general sense, and it is a big problem. And so I think you have to look at those sort of macro questions. But I'd like to drill down to a specific one. The federal government is spending somewhere in the neighborhood of $17 million to renovate the Harrington Lake cottage that is, of course, for the Prime Minister's use. You're hoping to have the use of that particular place. But we've found that a lot of swanky cottages owned by Oscar Award winners, Stanley Cup champions, you can buy them, the whole swanky spot, for an awful lot less than $17 million. What do you think of the idea of selling Harrington Lake?
Well, I actually, I don't know much about the property in terms of, I'm obviously aware of what it is, but I don't know what its value should be. I am somewhat aware of what cottage values are. I live in somewhat close to cottage country. I don't know of a single cottage that is on the market right now for $17 million, even in the swankiest areas of Ontario. So that seems very excessive, and I don't know what they're planning to do. You know what? I mean, I think these historical buildings are nice. I mean, I can almost guarantee you that $17 million is way too much. You know, I don't know if I think we should sell it. I like some of these historical buildings, but certainly that seems like an outrageous expenditure, and we should get to the bottom of it, no question.
Well, we're digging to the bottom of it. Stay tuned. Good. We'll try to find some more on that. In terms of big spending, there's all kinds of pressure on governments for stimulus spending or bailouts or corporate welfare. Pick your term. We're already seeing reports that Bombardier and others may be lining up to get big money. If you're Prime Minister and Bombardier or others come knocking, what's your answer?
Well, I don't believe in corporate welfare really at all. And I think that, in fact, one of the planks of my plan is to eliminate corporate welfare. So, no, I don't think that that's something that we should be doing. I mean, I can't think of one time where it's turned out in our favor. I'm just thinking of GM. I used to live in the Oshawa area, and there, it's barely, 8 or 9 or 10 years. I guess it's slightly over 10 years when we bailed them out. And the last car came off the line there a few months ago. So it never pays back for us. And I frankly can't think of a reason why we should.
Let's go to another really expensive program, equalization. When you look at Western separatism, it's hard to ignore, and equalization is sort of a symbol of that discontent, and it really can't be ignored anymore. What would you do to fix equalization?
Well, we certainly have to address equalization, and it's one of those things where I think there has to be a little bit of give and take, because you're dealing with different provinces, and many of whom have been on the receiving end of equalization for some time. But there is no question that without a change in equalization, the separatist movement out west will remain strong. And I have pledged to address equalization and even call a constitutional convention should the provinces be online with that. And there may be an opportunity for that. We have a lot of conservative premiers right now. And Quebec, of course, never signed on to the last time we did this. It may be time for that. But I've certainly said that we need to do whatever it takes to make sure the West feels like an equal partner in Confederation. And equalization and representation are the two biggest bones that many Westerners have to pick with the rest of the country.
So you'd be in favor of putting the premiers together around the table and discussing equalization. That's always a messy thing, but that's something that that you'd be looking at doing.
I think we have to. I don't think there's any way to address the issues out west right now. And frankly, the way that equalization has been used in practice is basically unfair to the West. I mean, there's no question. So we do have to address that issue. I mean, it's there's no way to avoid it.
I want to take it over to accountability. We push for lower taxes and less waste. We also want to make sure that government money that is spent in a good place. And one of the places we see the greatest need for that is in First Nations communities across the country. We've partnered with a courageous Indigenous activist named Charmaine Stick to take the Onion Lake Cree Nation to court so that she has the right to see her community publish their books, just like all of the rest of us. We can see the books of our local government anytime. What would you do with the First Nations Financial Transparency Act?
Yeah, so I actually I agree with that, and I've committed as part of my platform to making sure that that happens. So I believe that we should know where the money is going on reserves, and in as much as we should know where other public money is being spent. So that is something that is in my platform.
And of course, First Nations communities aren't the only place. We want to see politicians across the board providing transparency. I want to get a specific answer on a specific situation. In 2009, Liberal MP Michelle Simpson started publishing her own expenses, just her own expenses for her office and her own expenses. And former Liberal leader Michael Ignatieff put a ton of pressure on her to stop doing that. She didn't. She kept publishing it. If your leader and one of your caucus MPs starts publishing their own expenses, how do you handle that situation?
Well, I actually think we should all do that. Not only do I think, one person should do that, I think we should all do that. Now, did this person, was it literally every itemized receipt she had out there? Was it that level of detail, or what was she doing?
She just published all of her own expenses, so line items for, office expenses, travel. I think she sponsored a family skate in her riding, so that $200 or whatever showed up there. It wasn't all of the receipts, but it was the line items to provide that accountability.
I actually think it's a good idea. I mean, I know nothing I'm ashamed of that I've, spent money on, and I care less if someone knew what we were spending money on down here. I think it's a good idea.
All right. Well, I've asked you a bunch of policy questions, but I also want to give our supporters a chance to get to know you just a little bit and ask you kind of a funny question. I was reading your bio. You enjoy spending time outside. You enjoy, it specifically says, you enjoy using a chainsaw, which is a funny peace and quiet kind of thing, although compared to question period, maybe it is. So here's my question for you. What's more dangerous, a chainsaw or Twitter?
Well, Twitter is certainly Twitter is by far more aggravating and more irritating. You know, if you're out in the woods with the chainsaw, you don't feel like you've wasted any time. You know, I could be on Twitter for 10 minutes and I feel like I've just wasted an hour. So, but you know what? Let me put it this way: Twitter can end your career in an instant. I suppose you could die using a chainsaw, but if you're Twitter, you have to be careful with how you use Twitter. That's for sure. So I would say Twitter.
Those are the questions I have for you, Mr. Sloan. I know you need to get back on the campaign trail. I don't want to take a lot of your time. Anything else that you'd like to add today?
Well, thank you. And I want to thank your viewers and thank you for the work that you do. For those who are Conservative members, I just want to encourage you to vote in this upcoming leadership. The ballots will be mailed out shortly. And I encourage you to seriously consider my candidacy. I'm certainly the most outspoken on a variety of issues that relate to keeping Canada strong and free. And a large part of that, of course, is keeping government in check and keeping government spending in check. So I encourage you to check out my website. It's derricksloan.ca. And I can't wait to see what happens. And I'm looking forward to the future. So God bless Canada and God bless Canadian Taxpayers Federation.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. Stay safe on the campaign trip.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Taxpayers Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show and to share it with your friends. You can find interview information in our show notes and links to all of our past podcast episodes on our website, taxpayer.com.